Blog Talk Radio.
WPR Rebuttal on the air. This is WPR Rebuttal, bringing you a story missed by Wisconsin Public Radio, bringing you narratives UW System 4 Regents won't allow, shining light and perspective the owners of WPR don't want you to hear. I am your host, Senator JPO. Today we cover the financials and the market position and the television views and the network subscribers for World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE, who just had their 34th WrestleMania last Sunday. And I did have a podcast last Friday about WrestleMania 34, and I was having so much fun with a caller, just going over the matches and what we thought was going to happen, that we never got into the marketing, we never got into the accounting side of it. So that is what I'm covering today. I don't have a co-host today like I ended up having the other day. So call number is 929-477-3965. If you want to talk about WWE's financial performance, how they're positioning themselves in the so-called sports entertainment industry, feel free to call in. Again, WPR Rebuttal number is 929-477-3965. Okay, so a real useful website for getting news about WWE and how well they sell their events and their multimedia about it. A very good website is the People's Wrestling website, which is tpww.net. So I'm going to be referencing a few of their articles. And first up is the stock price, which, like, the day after WrestleMania 34, that stock approached $38. It was like $37.90. Now, that is a good deal higher. It's almost a quarter higher than the price of WWE stock at its most recent high before that. But when February 2014, that is when I short sold my shares. I sold mine before they got to the max out price of $31. But in February 2014, shares of World Wrestling Entertainment peaked at $31. It may have been some change on that, but it was around $31. So when it is nearly $38 per share as of this week, this means WWE stock gained 23% over the course of just over 4 years. It's like 4 years and 1 month. So, I mean, that's pretty good return at 23%, because overall the market is maybe gaining 12 to 14%. So the WWE outperformed the market by 50 and 60%. That's really good. So what this means, though, is if you don't want to get hosed in the short term, you do like I did, and you sell the stock before it reaches its target price. Like right now, the stock is climbing down, so I say sell your WWE stocks right now. Sell them because they'll only go down between now and next year's WrestleMania. But then you can buy those shares again for a cheaper price. About, I would say the best time to do that is actually going to be in early January. Because what they have in early January is they have the build-up to the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. And then they have the build-up for Royal Rumble WrestleMania. And then the stock price will peak a day or two after WrestleMania, and that's when you sell again. So pretty much every year you're buying in early January, and then you're selling in early April. That's how I, Senator JPO, advise you to buy and sell the WWE stock. And the key is to trade in such volume where a trading fee is negligible. In other words, to buy hundreds of shares at a time, so that when you sell them for a profit, then you earn more than the $7 or whatever you pay in trading fee. Okay, so I covered the stock performance in recent history. And as far as the overall views on the television product, which the whole purpose of the television product is to generate interest in the pay-per-views. And that used to be their sales model for a long, long time. Get people to buy tickets, and you also get them to buy virtual tickets for the pay-per-view. So live tickets for the shows when they tour in person, and pay-per-view buys in order to get them watching from their television in their home. But what about the network? Well, ever since the network debuted in February 2014, and that's when the stock had peaked back then at $31 per share, well, stocks started falling down because network subscribers were below the forecasted number. Like WWE wanted a good million in their first year, and they only got like 800,000. But now they have nearly 2 million network subscribers. I mean, right now, they have like 1.8 million. But the paid subscribers who are buying it year-round are actually more like 1.6 million. Because WWE usually gets about 200,000 free trial subscribers around WrestleMania. And year over year, the subscribers are going up for WWE Network. It's a modest increase, so you know it's not going to just be a sudden influx followed by a crash. They're organically growing the network subscription base, which is good for the share price and financial. And what about the television viewers? Television viewers is essentially the base of potential customers and network subscribers and those who buy just the pay-per-views and whatnot, and those who go to the live events. Those are the high-margin subscribers. Okay, so television-wise, WWE has two main shows that they use to promote their premium content. So this free content is on two different shows. One is Raw, and that has been drawing 3.9 million viewers. So they're almost back up to 4 million viewers. Not quite, but they're getting there. Because year over year, they add about 300,000 to 400,000. Like the year prior, they only had like 3.4 million, but they add like a half million to that. But that's unusual because usually they don't add a half million year over year for a day after WrestleMania. It's more like 200,000 to 300,000, but they are gaining the back of the audience that they have lost about 15 years ago. Okay, so what about their our show, SmackDown? SmackDown Live, as they now call it, because Raw is taped, but SmackDown is now air live as of the past few years. And it has about 3 million viewers, not quite, but it's getting there, like 2.95 million. And again, and that show as well is going up year over year. About the same number of views going up, about 200,000 to 300,000. Since last year's WrestleMania, SmackDown Live has also shot up a whole half million viewers. So that's impressive. 500,000 extra viewers for SmackDown and Raw. That shows that the brand strength is near parity right now. If they are getting that much, the same increase in viewership the day after WrestleMania, and that shows that at least among the premium fan base who actually pay to watch the stuff, then they're telling their friends are tuning in as well. Some of those might go on to buy the network subscription. And yeah, I mean, demographics are king. Like for SmackDown, that was number one on cable in the 1849 demographic, and Raw television show was number one, two, and three on cable in 1849 demographic. And the reason why that's even possible is because television ratings are reported by the hour. So with the 3 hour show for Raw, then that explains how each hour can occupy a different ranking. In this case, Raw swept the top three. SmackDown Live, it's a 2 hour show, but apparently, second hour did not necessarily place in the top 10, but the first hour was definitely number one because people wanted to see how Daniel Bryan would celebrate getting his big win at WrestleMania and what, if anything, would happen to the guys he defeated who aren't supposed to have a contract anywhere. But I mean, it's pro wrestling. You still have a contract when you lose a draw. It's definitely not the job search where if you lose, you don't have a contract. You know, it's like in pro wrestling, if you're a jobber, a jabroni, as The Rock calls them, but if you're a person who loses like all the time, but you're a pro wrestler, you get paid anyway, okay? Because losers get paid in pro wrestling. But now, in the job search biz, losers don't get paid a dime. So I guess if you lose all the time, then just try to get pro wrestling gigs. But I tell you, you're essentially a small business owner when you're trying to get started in the pro wrestling industry, whether you're a promoter trying to sell tickets or if you're just a wrestler trying to participate in an event and get paid. You're probably also trying to sell tickets as well, that the promoter has more to give you after he gets his take. And yeah, just the ridiculous stuff you have to do. I mean, if you're a pro wrestler, okay, you have to throw fights to anyone they want. So if they're like, oh, hey, go and, okay, you're getting pinned by my teenage daughter tonight. I mean, you can do like what I would do and just say, no, thanks. I know you're going to probably blacklist me from bookings, but I'm not going to do that, okay? You can do that and keep your integrity intact. Or you can show that you're like the ultimate team player by just saying, okay, just make sure I get my $200 or however much they pay you. Whereas in the job search, I mean, I'm sure there have been like teenagers who've gotten a job instead of me for some of these gigs. And I'm sure that there have been young college graduates, a lot of them very effeminate people who have been chosen instead of me. But I tell you, it was not me versus them. It was me versus the hiring managers. Because you're forced in the hiring process to compete against the hiring manager's perceptions. And you do not know who else is competing against you, except for rare situations. When there's a group interview, I will be like a pro wrestler to some extent. Obviously, I'm not going to lay my hands on another job applicant and get myself thrown in jail or whatnot, but I will, when the interview panel is not looking in their outer room and presumably not listening, I will just try to get inside the head of my fellow job competitors, my fellow job interviewees, and I will try to go and throw them off for game. And there's only been two situations which I've been able to do this. I guess three, but in that first situation, the hiring managers were literally sitting in the next room and they were listening to how we were interacting. And that's when I was going for Canvas Ambassador. Even though I mean, I didn't have too much in the way of interaction, but I didn't get the job. So I guess it would have been even better knowing I mean, at the time I thought I was still going to get job offers. You see, that was before I found out that I was pretty much blacklisted from employment. So, but yeah, if I know that I'm blacklisted from employment and I'm in a group interview, I will just have fun and try to get inside the mind and psych out these other panel, I mean, not the panel interviewers, but the people who will be interviewed by a panel, but they're waiting in a private waiting area away from the actual interview room. And security cameras don't really have audio, so as long as I don't make threatening gestures, I can get away with trash talking my competition. It's like a pro wrestler would do in one of the so-called promos. Oh, by the way, if any callers have anything to contribute, you're welcome to call me at 929-477-3929. I just want to double check and make sure that I said that properly because I'm looking at my notes about WIE. Okay, so 929-477-3965. 929-477-3965 is our call number. According to our online dashboard, we have about 17 minutes. So I actually covered everything that I wanted to about WWE's financial performance. And I actually am going to fine-tune the description here, but I was honestly rushed for time trying to launch this thing on time. So I believe that I hit the create episode button pretty much at 12:30 sharp. So if anyone was calling in and they heard we have an episode scheduled in a few minutes, please hold. Well, that's because I literally had just hit the create episode button. So if you're coming in here from like the Opperman Report or whatnot, because I'm advertising it right now, and I'll have an announcement on that, but so much has been going on. You know how Ed Opperman has always been having computer problems? Well, that's the way I've been too, unfortunately. You know, a lot of it boils down to stupid Windows 10. You can go and lock the computer, and you can go and try to play an audio clip on loop to try to fool the computer into thinking someone's still there at the computer, you know, utilizing the keyboard and the mouse. But I tell you, unless they're actually there jostling the keyboard and the mouse, that computer is going to shut itself down. And you know how big a pain in the ass it is when a computer shuts itself down? I mean, come on. You have stuff open. I save my work. But come on. Every time it shuts itself down, I have to go back and open up all these text files because those are my notes. And then open my web browser back up. And then you do restore session. And I tell you, even if you're using Firefox, which I consider Firefox to be the best internet browser, okay, you try to restore a session, and more often than not, it'll crash trying to restore a session. So what do? You have to go back in history, manually pick out, okay, by URL, because it doesn't show the page title, it just shows the URL, and you have to, in a lot of cases, just guess at what URL corresponds to what page you had open. So you're opening the tabs, trying it back in a workflow, and that stupid Windows 10 is going to shut it off again, even if you lock it. I swear. It's like, or let's say if you're waiting for something to load and it's taking a long time, and you go and you take a nap, you wake up for a nap, oh, shoot, forgot to lock the computer. And then it's like, well, hey, the computer is locked itself. It shut itself down and it locked itself. So if you think, oh, I remember to lock it, well, guess what? You might not have locked it after all. It might have been your computer, Windows 10, shutting itself down and locking it. Now, I don't know why anyone would want Windows 10. I kind of plan on getting Unix, but my uncle gave me this Windows 10 PC as a Christmas gift, and I honestly regret it because at least with Linux, I'd have better control. With Linux, I could keep it on. I wouldn't have to worry about this damn computer shutting itself off just because even though you locked it, you're not there jostling the mouse around or pressing the keyboard to keep the input-output sensor from shutting down the computer. It's like if it detects that like no one is using it, and you can try to trick it with an audio clip, but if no one is using that computer, Windows 10 shuts it down. And I've tried disabling Windows Update. It doesn't really seem to be possible, at least not unless you're an elite registry hacker. And power management here. I mean, I'm going to settings right now, okay, because I have time to blow on this remainder of this podcast. I already covered everything that I had to. So I'm going to settings here, right? And Windows 10 is so atrocious, it's like takes forever to get anywhere in any of the settings menus. Well, where's the power management? So you have to go into detail view, which I'm pretty sure I bookmarked it here. So I'm going to instead go to something I bookmark here. I'm going to all control panel items. That's what you have to do is all control panel items in order to even find that the power options. I tell you, this thing is so decrepit. And it froze. I'm not even going to be able to end the episode organically because Yeah, Windows 10 froze on me. I cannot move the mouse. What the heck? People, do not buy any PC that has Windows 10 on it. I mean, maybe you could be fancy and like try a dual boot, but I tell you, dual boot in the Linux. Don't ever use Windows 10. If someone gives you as a gift, that's what happened with me. Someone gave it to me as a gift. Even though it might cost you to make your own Linux computer, just turn them down. Get a Linux computer. Windows 10 is not worth the aggravation. I tell you, been too much aggravation and irritation with the Windows 10. Don't even bother. Okay, so finally, after I tabbed on my keyboard to switch Windows, my mouse froze, but that should not happen. That should not happen. So, okay, get this. Power options. I already have it where I never put the computer to sleep. I never turn off the display. So why in the hell is my computer shutting itself down when it's been idle, huh? It's never supposed to hibernate. It's never supposed to sleep. It's never supposed to turn off anything. I'm on the highest power usage plan. So screw Windows 10. I'm not going to do an F-bomb on my family-friendly podcast, but I tell you, it's just atrocious at Windows 10. Okay, so this has been Senator JPO. Last time I had Josh Yockum as a call-in, and man, Josh, I enjoyed talking with you about the matches and all that, but I never got into the financials. Literally, the show ended because Blog Talk Radio ends the show after half an hour if you have the free plan like I do. And it ended before Josh and I can get into the last match in the card. That was Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. So I was talking to Josh real briefly, and he thought that Lesnar might retain just as a way to swerve the fans. And I agreed that was a logical way to do it because a lot of the other booking decisions WWE has done were more or less to play with the fans and getting to subscribe to the network to see what happens on the next pay-per-view. And that's a good model. I mean, if you're WWE and you're using WrestleMania to try to get new subscribers, you don't want to tie up everything on the one show they get for free. You want to leave some plot threads hanging so that the fans feel like they have to buy more content to understand how the story ends. And once one story ends, especially in pro wrestling, you have to be starting another story at the same time you're winding down the older story. You have to be building up the newer story. It's kind of like life, but because, I mean, people are wired that way. As human beings, we are wanting one story after the next. Even if it's like the same archetype of story, we want a new iteration and we want a continuation of that until we emotionally disinvest. We get sick of the story, and trust me, that happens to me a lot when it comes to looking for jobs because hiring managers will just disinvest in you. It's like, okay, well, we had your interview, and we're done with you. I mean, pro wrestling is more forgiving because you can always pick up a feud later on, but hiring managers are worse than Vince McMahon, I tell you. They're worse than Vinnie Mac because hiring managers just write you off forever, whereas Vince McMahon, when he sees that there's popular support for you and you get exposure, there's money to be made from you when you get exposure. Hiring managers, they don't care how much media exposure you get. If they don't think that you're particularly right for their roles that they are going to consider you for, then you have no future with them. Not at all. And it's not like you can befriend these hiring managers because they are usually stay out of the civic groups, usually cannot network with them, and they're kind of like vampires hiding away in their coffins. Hiring managers, whenever they're not in the job. But yeah, obviously, you know what my opinion of hiring managers is. They're a bunch of scum, and I'd like to see them get their comeuppance in a WWE wrestling ring. So if anyone from WWE is listening, reading from an independent promotion, you can really make my day by having someone with a hiring manager gimmick, preferably a woman, because most hiring managers are women. So you can have a rejected job applicant getting her or his revenge on a hiring manager in a wrestling ring. And that hiring manager better win because we're, as wrestling fans, we're looking for a happy ending, okay? We're looking for a reversal of our own fortunes. Every time we watch WWE or even just a local VFW wrestling hall show, We want to see our kind get the win. Our kind equating with usually like the working class white male who feels that he's not getting a fair shake, really. Now, I'm a highly educated, I'm a very well-read white guy who has, I mean, if I didn't live with my folks, I would definitely be like lower working class, hard to get a job offer and whatnot. Because I'm living with my folks, I'm kind of like lower middle class. And they're pretty much solid middle class. But so, yeah, thank God for my parents. I mean, it goes back to the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and honor thy mother. I mean, that's like the fourth commandment. So, yeah, if you do that, you don't have to worry about being homeless unless you've been listening to too much Dr. Laura. But Dr. Laura hasn't been relevant in like over 5 years. I never see her mentioned in news media anymore. So, yeah. And Laura Ingraham is not Dr. Laura, but she's much better because she makes fun of the survivors of the school shootings. But guess what? I mean, that's the type of, gutsy, ballsy thing that I would do to get media exposure. And I'm sure that, Laura Ingraham, if she had the budget and the know-how and she knew about me personally, I'm sure she'd want to hire me. It's just what I get through the red tape of the Fox News corporate hiring process. Now, that's something that might be out of Laura Ingraham's hands. But, yeah, if Ingraham or one of her friends is listening, yeah, Senator JPO would very much get along well within your department for your show and would bring in some greater exposure because I'm very good with hashtagging. I've done my own podcast for the better part of 2 years and I have my own built-in fan base and I know how to reach them. So we have literally 5 minutes remaining. Speak now or forever hold your peace on WPR Rebuttal. We're at 929-477-3965. If you're coming in by way of a commercial on the Opperman Report, then let us know, because then I can understand how well my advertising is working. Well, here at Blog Talk Radio says I have like 30 seconds, so it's kind of odd, because the dashboard says 5 minutes and 30 seconds. Then this voiceover on my conference line, which is all this podcast is the conference line. You can call in, but it says 30 seconds. So the automated notification is taken off 5 minutes from the time it says that I have on my own private dashboard. So it looks like we're going to be ending. Senator JP is signing off for WPR Rebuttal.